Welcome to Inside Maryland Politics. I'm Fraser Smith, WYPR senior news analyst and Daily Record columnist. My guest is David Gray of the University of Maryland Francis King Carey School of Law and an expert on some issues that are right in front of us now, having to do with what has been referred to as the epidemic of incarceration in our country. So now we have Attorney General Holder weighing in.
Attorney General Holder focused his attention really on the consequences, which is the fact that we have at any given time somewhere between 7 and 10 million people in the United States that are subject to the criminal justice system, are either on parole or in jail or in prison. The vast majority of those, around 50%, are in for drug offenses, most of them nonviolent drug offenses, and that the vast majority of people who are among that 50% are individuals of color, predominantly young African-American and Latino men.
Can you put all of these questions in a Maryland context for us?
Of course, Attorney General Holder's memo doesn't apply to any assistant state's attorney. It's a directive to federal prosecutors only. And the Supreme Court so far has told us that it's unlawful to have statutory mandatory sentences of life without the possibility of parole for juvenile offenders, and that in the case of nonviolent crimes, juvenile offenders have to have a reasonable opportunity to seek some relief. And we also have a decision of the Supreme Court this year on mandatory minimum sentences, requiring all factors that affect mandatory minimum sentences to be found by a jury. But all of that is limitations on procedure. None of that says anything fundamental about the scope of criminalization or the harshness of punishment. And Maryland, despite being a blue state and a liberal bastion in many other ways, has a bit of a draconian approach to sentencing with respect to drug offenses. And none of what we've seen from the federal system right now can impose any demands on Maryland law enforcement or the Maryland judiciary, the Maryland legislature. But we can hope that this provides some leadership, and that perhaps in the next legislative session, our legislature will pick up that ball and run with it in the right direction.
One of the things that I've heard people say recently is that it ultimately ends up in the hands of the voters, because you need to elect people who are willing to take whatever political flack might come along for rolling back some of these laws.
That's exactly right. And the reason that we are where we are now is because the best way to get elected to public office through the 80s and the 90s was to be tough on crime and to promise that you would bring to the voters expanded criminalization and harsher sentences. And if the electorate were to turn that around and follow some of the analysis that is present in Attorney General Holder's memo and say, this is costing us too much, it's not getting us anything, and it is having the effect of criminalizing a generation of young men of color, then those are the kinds of policies that politicians will start running on.
Okay, David, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me on.
For David Gray, I'm Fraser Smith, and you've been listening to Inside Maryland Politics on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station.